This might be just a hunch. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's God's revealing. But I wonder if anyone this morning kind of feels either paralyzed or stuck down one side. That might be physically paralyzed or pain down one side, or it might be indicative of emotional or spiritual condition where half of you feel stuck. And you're standing here now feeling divided. Half of you wants to, yeah, go with this stuff, but half of you is like solid and frozen. If that makes any sense to anyone, then I suggest that you ask someone to pray with you now, or either just tap someone on the shoulder or raise a hand, or just indicate for someone to pray, because God will release that. God will bring healing into that. That might be no one, it might be nothing. Susan, can you go and pray with the girl, please? Oh Lord, bring that release. May we not be divided. May we not be in compartments, in separate pieces, one for the Lord and one stuck. But may the whole of our lives, every sinew, every fabric of our being, every part of our emotions be released to be in your glory. Bring that release, Lord, in each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Koya. Thank you. Well, I'm comfortable if you are for ministry to go on while the rest of us sit and I start speaking. So that's fine. Let that ministry just continue. This morning, Susan read a snippet from that passage, 1 Corinthians 14. It's actually part of a much longer piece. Starts back in chapter 12, goes forward even through to the end of chapter 14. And it's about the work of the Spirit among the people. And a key theme, especially in chapter 14, is that Paul wants to say, let the Spirit work among the people, for the whole people. And that whole body thing is really important to Paul. He doesn't want anyone to be left out. He wants the whole body to be built up together towards Christ. So the Spirit working for the people, among the people, for the whole people. And in chapter 14, another emphasis is on the people gathered together, physically coming together in one place to worship, to have God among them. We see verse 23 and 26 explicitly talk of the church gathered. Remember that a big thing for us is that church is people. This building is neither here nor there. It's the people. And it's when the people gather that something special happens. There's a kind of a spiritual equation that kicks in. The people gather and God is among them and things happen. We could do it in this building if we had finer weather like they do in the Middle East or Australia. We could do it in open air. But it's the people gathered that is important. And that's an experience you cannot get anywhere else and you cannot get online. You can watch videos on YouTube. You can get a sense of what's going on in the worship gathering that's been recorded and put on YouTube. But it will not be the same as the face-to-face experience with each other. And in that with each other, face-to-face with God. As a leadership team, we see a strategic need to pray into God with us when we are together, when we are gathered. And the little buzz term I've made up for that is corporate capacity. the experience of God when we are gathered together here on a Sunday morning, when we meet as members for our church meetings to discern what Jesus would have us do going forward as a church, and when we come together, whole church corporately, for prayer, which we do at least twice a year. The corporate capacity, God among us in those gatherings. Because, as we said last week, God with us, that's Christmas. God comes to us, and when he's among us, he reveals and he shows himself, and his kingdom comes with him, and things start to align with his kingdom. Our bodies, our lives start to align with his kingdom, and so things change and things are transformed. Remember that Jesus, even born as a baby, fully revealed God. And in his life and ministry, physically showed us who God is and what he is like. So now as we're gathered here, okay, we don't have the physical Jesus with us, but we do have the spirit of Jesus that he has gladly chosen to put in us, in our lives. So Jesus is present among us. And so what's he going to do? He is going to reveal God and show us what he is like. And so should it be no surprise that as he shows us God and we get a bigger appreciation of who he is and his kingdom, that things in us will start to change and lives will be transformed and all kinds of good stuff will happen because of Jesus revealing. And so Paul is very keen as he writes to the Corinthian church, very keen on prophecy, because that is God's revealing. But in this passage, he does that by making a contrast, and he draws a contrast between the gift of prophecy, God revealing, and the gift of tongues, God enabling people to just pray in an unknown language or a language they have never learnt. And he appears to be quite negative about the gift of tongues because he's making a contrast. Positive prophecy, tongues appears negative. A mistake people then make is to think that Paul has a downer on tongues. That is not true. You can see in verse 26, verse 39 of this chapter, that everyone has a role to play as we gather together. And that will certainly includes the possibility of the gift of tongues, even as we're gathered together. He has a place for that. At the end of the chapter, he says, don't forbid speaking in tongues. What Paul is getting at is that tongues in a corporate and maybe public setting, because anyone could come into our worship, we would love that. Tongues in that setting can, under certain circumstances, become problematic. And so you can summarize it like this, that prophecy is God's revealing, and that draws together, that's a uniting thing, drawing people together before the revelation of God and his purposes, unlocking and ministering, as we heard from Chris and his experience. Whereas tongues, typically, it's a bit complicated because there's different ways in which tongues can operate, but typically can be about our private communion with God, our own intimate experience with God. And so if in a public setting loads of people are having that private, intimate experience, that can have a splitting effect, a divisive effect, which of course is the opposite of what Paul wants. He wants the whole body built up together, which tongues might not do, but prophecy does do. In the worst case, with loads of people literally babbling away in tongues, someone might come in from the outside and conclude that we're all mad. Remember, in the Corinthian context, there would have been strange cults and strange groups that would have had strange, ecstatic, weird experiences. And the average person coming into that would think they're just mad and weird. And Paul was worried that someone would come into a Christian gathering and come to the same conclusion. Well, if you want to dig deeper, look at verse 21, which actually references to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 28. And remember, when Paul does a reference like this, we can think of it as like a web page hyperlink. You know, you click on the link on your web browser and it takes you to a whole new web page. Well, this is what Paul is doing as he quotes just a tiny bit of one verse of Isaiah 28 verse 11. He's actually hyperlinking to the passage at least 28 verses 9 to 13. And that passage is a sorry passage. It's a passage where the people haven't been listening to God. They've been going away from God. And now God says, well, I might as well just give you foreign speech that you don't understand because you're not listening anyway. So I'll give you this foreign speech and I'll leave you with no understanding. So Paul here, when he uses the term unbeliever, understand that as direction of travel. Unbeliever is someone who's actually going away from God and therefore, in the worst case, being left out by God. Because the opposite, then, is a believer in the direction of travel is towards God. Someone coming to faith and coming to a greater and deeper faith and realization of who God is. And that's what prophecy enables. Enables building up. Coming towards God. And it then has the possibility that someone might come in from the outside, come in from the cold, as it were. And because of the revelation of God, they are suddenly propelled at quite high velocity towards God and towards faith and worship in Him. Exclaiming, as he writes in verse 24, God is really among you. That was kind of Chris's experience. Randomly comes into our gifts workshop. And because of the grace and the revelation of God, is suddenly propelled forward to a greater faith in Him. That's corporate capacity right there. God's ministering among us. So I'm going to give a definition of corporate capacity. It's the space or the time where God is free to be God among us. And our corporate capacity is our ability to make that available. For God to just be free to be God among us and to minister. And whether it's a Sunday morning worship like this, or whether it's our meeting together as members at our quarterly meetings, or whether it's our corporate prayer times, why shouldn't God be free to be God among us and minister how He chooses? Why shouldn't He be free to do that? Why shouldn't we have that corporate capacity? Well, church is people. Church is individuals, us coming together. So for each of us as individuals, what mindset, what attitude, what faith life disposition might we need to come with to contribute to that corporate capacity of God being free to minister among us? I'm going to hand over to Susan, who's going to tell us about some practical aspects of coming before God in that way.
To start first by reminding you about some of the words of Jesus, a promise in regards to this. This is taken from the Gospel of John, 7th chapter. And Jesus is in the temple. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. the last day of the feast. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests would take these big water jugs and they'd fill them at the Pool of Siloam and walk up the hill. And there was a big ceremonial basin there, and they'd put jug after jug into this basin, and it would overflow. And the water would be flowing out in all directions on the temple pavement. And Jesus stood probably near that basin, and it says he cried out in a loud voice. In other words, he was making a declaration for everyone to hear. The temple would have been heaving with people during this feast. And he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For from whoever believes, out of his innermost being, streams of living water will flow." Now notice he doesn't say, "out of me streams of living water will flow." He says, "come to me and drink, and out of you streams of living water will flow." And then John goes on to give a very helpful commentary and says, Jesus was referring to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which hadn't happened at this point. So there's the promise, streams of living water pouring out from us. That's the Holy Spirit. Just fast forward just a couple of weeks, a few weeks maybe, the day of the resurrection, Jesus appears to the disciples. I think Carl talked about this last week. They see him, and he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I wondered for a while, why did he say it right at that point? Why didn't he say it during his ministry? Why didn't he say it later? Well, I found out it was because it was at that moment they looked at him and they believed that he was the risen Lord. He was there in front of them. He ate something. They knew he wasn't a ghost. So that's all it takes, is faith in Jesus as the risen Lord to receive the Holy Spirit indwelling you. But that's, so all of you as believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. But I'd like to say that that's a different thing from the outpouring, which happened later at Pentecost when they were all gathered together. So there's the indwelling, but there's also special times of movement. And that is what we long for. Do you remember what happened at Pentecost? The Spirit came in power. They were speaking in tongues. There was anointed preaching. And lives were transformed. Thousands of people became believers with that move of the Spirit. But also, from that point on, I would like to say the whole world was transformed, wasn't it? The gospel went forth. So it changes things. And there's good news. It's not just, Pentecost was not just a one-off. History records many times that there are outpourings of the Spirit. It records big ones. And unrecorded are many, many outpourings of the Spirit. It's when we gather together and wait and expect and hope. What can we do? Is there anything that we can do to welcome this, to invite it? I'd like to say that it's good to start from a place of praise. When we're praising, we're thinking about the Lord. We're thinking about his power. We're thinking about his might. We're thinking about what he's done for us. So the focus is on him and not on us, not on our weaknesses, and not on our needs. But also when we're praising him, like I said to the children, it excites our whole body. We're set free. We're more likely to get rid of our stiffness and our inhibitions, even our resistance to moving in the Spirit. So that's why I think it's good to start from a place of praise. And then, after that, I think usually you need a bit of space. Space. Don't feel like the service or the gathering should rush on. Take time to listen, to hear, to watch, to worship, to praise. See what the Spirit is impressing upon you. Often it is one message, one sort of central theme that he's impressing. Be ready to share it. Be bold. It might be a prophecy or a word of knowledge, like Dawn gave earlier, or like Carl gave to Chris. Be bold. Be ready to speak it out. Other things might happen. There might be tongues. There might be people kneeling. There might be people falling down. It's different every time. Sometimes it's more intense. It's different with every group because we're a community and it's an interaction, isn't it? So we're responsive to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is responsive to us. But the Lord loves us and he wants to move in power among us. So I'd just like to encourage everybody to go with the flow. Let those streams of living water flow from among us.
We could look in Acts, all of examples of the power of God being present among the people gathered. The common theme is that people go away changed. That's our prayer when we huddle in the vestry or in the hall before each Sunday morning service. We pray, Lord, be among us and may we be changed. Let's make that our desire, our expectation for each and every time we meet, however it is, whether it's for Sunday church meeting, corporate prayer, even I would say for a small group, because it is God with us, his Spirit moving freely. As a leadership team, we will continue to work out how to facilitate that ever closer intimacy with God in our worship, how we can enable us to bring our lives from the week and overflow it in worship before him as we gather on a Sunday, and how we can encourage our small groups to know and find ways that as they meet together, they are praying for each other, praying into their sense of mission task, and know that they are doing business with God's. In all that, have expectancy. Come back to that question, why shouldn't we expect God to move powerfully among us? So let's make it about him. Let's make it about God with us and make that space and time for God to be God among us, revealing, drawing people closer to him, building us up together, and changing our lives. I'm going to invite us to stand as we pray, and the musicians will prepare to lead us into our time together, where we plan and hope, if it's necessary or right, to just make space for God to move and to speak. So why don't we stand together now and continue being in his presence. You get sound bites at conferences. Karen and I were at a conference this week, and one speaker said, well, look, God is already here. He's present in this whole universe, so he's present. So maybe worship is about us organizing ourselves to be more aware of his presence. Oh Lord, come and be among us now. We want to be open to you. We want to let you be God, to let you reveal, to speak into our lives, to minister. The Spirit be free to move. This time and space is for you. Here we are. Amazing grace, we are before you now.